Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Mornings, our once a month segment on Myopia Defender Childhood, where we look at an old TV show. This week, if you couldn't tell already, we're talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the late 80s and early 90s TV slugfest. Like, everyone was on it, man. And I'm sure you remember. Interesting to me, because as someone who grew up watching it, you know, the Eastman and Laird comics are so bleak, so dark, so satirical, so silly, right? So, moment of exposition followed by grim, gruesome violence. Compared to the movies, of course, which are very cartoony, Jim Henson puppets and the like. The video games which followed, all of that feels much more like this animated show. So it was kind of fun to look back on it, since it's been rebooted more than anything else we've talked about so far. But I think you'll see it's kind of that pre-Simpsons animation where everything is kind of drib and drab and not particularly fun. However, I think we're off to a good episode. With that in mind, if you're listening to this when it comes out or soon thereafter, September 7th at 7:45 p.m., Cineprov, I'm going to be there as one of the riffers on The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant, which, having done some rehearsal and seeing it, my God, is it a bad movie. But yeah, hope to see you there, meet some of our fans. Additionally, if you are interested in being a part of the show or, you know, kind of figuring it out, we're looking for some fan feedback. And we'll read it on the air and we'll talk about it. So follow us on Facebook, join the Myopia group, follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Pod, and give us a review on iTunes. I'll read any 5-star review that are written in some of these introductions. So please, and if you're interested in history, I don't usually plug this, me and a friend of mine, Alex Cummings from Georgia State University, do a history podcast called Doomed to Repeat. And we've had some interesting podcasts in this season, one on the anti-vax movement, one on segregation, one on Russia. One's coming out on sanctuary cities soon. And yeah, we're putting together quite a story. So please tune in there. Also rate and review us on iTunes. And found us on SoundCloud as well. Thanks.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
We're here to tell you about our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. Join us every week as we discuss the DC universe.
We talk everything DC, including comics, television, the cinematic universe, and so much more.
We look forward to bringing you some great reviews and discussions.
And don't forget,
read more comics.
Welcome to Myopia Mornings. This week, we've changed the title of the podcast, and we have watched, I guess, in honor.
Next week, Myopia Evenings, where we watch Cinemax.
We watch, like, again, heavy metal or something, one of those weird animated movie toys. A Cool World. God, those
movies. We're off to a good start.
We're off to a great start. I was just thinking of the term jiggle physics when I was
Alive the movie.
And a Tomb Raider. Stay tuned, because when they reboot it this fall, we're gonna do it for Myopia. But let's get back to kind of what we're talking about. I guess in honor of the fact that our movie podcast started with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we thought we should get to this pretty early on. So we did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1987. I guess, like last time, before we get too far into this, did you guys have a background with this show?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I watched this show all the time, knew the song by heart, dressed up as little Michelangelo, ran around with the neighbor kids.
Oh yeah, my mom made the puff paint t-shirts. Different Ninja Turtle. Yes, away. Yeah. My brother was like Donatello or die. Yeah.
There's an incredible piece of art hanging in my parents' laundry room, which is where you put the good art. Something that I drew when I was five. I believe it's Raphael. It is an incredible piece of art.
I think we all just learned something about your parents, that they framed your five-year-old art.
That's good.
It's not the only piece of art they have framed that I drew before I was 10. So, won't be the last. Whatever that means.
Well, that may be the best thing to come out of the series.
Yeah. So clearly, this
given the rewatch,
Ninja Turtles, and I've still never read any of the comics and stuff. So this came out before the movies. So I mean, the show was Ninja Turtles. I had all the action figures. Probably still do somewhere.
This was something that me and my brothers could agree on watching.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when we were younger and we had like the one TV in the house that we actually got to watch, there was never a fight when Ninja Turtles was on. We actually both.
Unless you were fighting as Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Well, that was after the episode.
Who were you? You were Raphael.
I was
you?
Raphael. Snarky, yes, actually.
No one wanted to be April. Even in all these episodes, she shows up late to everything.
Oh,
April
doesn't want to be April. She's the worst reporter ever.
Where's the action, guys?
I look how like joke, her trademark is that horrible yellow jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And her hair gets bigger in every scene.
Her one accomplishment.
Her close-ups, they can't fit her whole head in the frame. Because she has too much hair.
It's like our buddy Michael's driver's license photo with the afros.
Yeah.
Which is for no one else except for me right now. But yeah, I guess, as you alluded to, it's kind of rough going. The theme song is great. Between like 85 and 93, the theme songs on TV shows were incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and you will remember every word to every single one.
Oh, yeah.
I've been astonished. Like, Scott and I watched this together, and just, I don't know if it's something about these things at this particular age in which we watch them, but every single bit of it is seared upon my brain, whereas things like what I had for lunch today, couldn't tell you.
Yeah, well, who cares about that?
But you care about, like, the Ninja Turtles theme song.
About what you ate for lunch today? That's what Instagram's for. You don't have to remember.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, we knew every word to this. Aaron was dancing around on the couch. It was wonderful. And then the episode started.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It went downhill at that point.
So we chose, like last time, three random episodes, and then one was taken down from YouTube for copyright reasons, so we chose another random episode. So we'll do them in the order they got released, because why not? It's as good as any reason. The first one we did was one of Scott's choices, Scott and Aaron, whoever. One of you figured it out. We found it.
This was all Scotty.
It's all me, buddy.
And it was called Shredder Rises? Or something like that?
I think it was called Enter the Shredder. It's the second episode because we could not find access to the pilot. But the whole background story is in the song, so you don't really need a pilot. You know, you just watch the theme song.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was the second episode. It's got the Shredder. It's got Krang. It's got
the Technodrome.
Bebop Rocksteady, I believe. It's got a Technodrome. A great name for anything.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to name something, a kid or a restaurant or a evil underground sewer palace, Technodrome.
With an eye on the
is
top
amazing.
For some reason.
Yeah, I know. What was that?
Well, and it also, I mean, because we have nothing good to say, we should talk about the theme song. In that, all the best parts from everything we saw are in the theme. Like, the Technodrome driving along is there, them beating up some robots on the Technodrome. It's all in the theme song, and it's kick-ass. And then all of a sudden, the animation budget is slashed. It's as though the elevator pitch was the theme song.
Yeah.
They said go, and the rest of the budget was for the entire rest of the season.
Ugh. Yeah. They got some good voice work, though. Maybe these guys weren't famous before. I mean, everything Raphael says, like, go find an episode on YouTube and watch and be like, anything Raphael says, which is, he doesn't get one good line in any of the episodes we saw. He didn't really get anything to do. And they hadn't figured out what to do with Raphael. He has a terrible weapon. He has a terrible attitude. They don't know what to do with him. But yeah. Rob Paulsen is doing the voice. So everything he says is just Yakko. It's Yakko from Animaniacs. Just being really snarky, having his little joke, his little Groucho jokes. And I was like, that's just kind of pulling me out of it. But I like it because Rob Paulsen's going to be in every episode we do, apparently. apparently now.
Well, and I kind of like Rob Paulson in that he's a person. Like, because the other person who's going to be in everything is Frank Welker, and all he does is animal sounds. But here we have Rob Paulson being Rob Paulson as Raphael, who's, God, he's cool but crude.
Yeah. Hey, give me a break.
Oh, I wrote that down too. This is the most, like, they're riffing on their own title track.
Yes.
Like, their theme song is playing, and they're making fun of the
Raphael. In one of these episodes, Raphael throws a foot soldier across the room, and he's like, hey, you're a rude dude. Like, that's out of the theme song.
Well, and we have Donatello, who speaks like a nerd. Like, he's doing, God, he's doing Steve Urkel. Oh. And then we have a surfer dude, then we have an asshole, and then we have Leonardo, who's trying to be like, come on, guys. Yeah. Jeez.
They gave Leonardo at least, like, a normal, like, yeah, I'll listen to that guy. If he's saying, let's go do a thing, let's split up, like, Leonardo's got a leadership voice. But yeah, I noticed that too. They're like, well, Donatello's smart, so make him sound like a nerd. All right, check. Michelangelo's a party dude, so, we'll make sure he sounds like he's from the valley, and Raphael, like, whatever, Raphael. Okay.
Right. Well, and then we have Splinter, who sounds like
which is very
a
true to life.
Yeah, no one...
Everyone was like, Michelangelo, yes, Raphael.
Which is why the movie, and if you listened to our very first Myopia, you know this about the movie that they made, is all about how Raphael feels left out, and he goes off on his own and does his own thing because of stuff we're saying right now about how, like, Raphael doesn't get written anything. He's just written out. And at the same time, you're like, well, I know Raphael paintings. I don't know shit that Donatello did.
Well, or in the second movie where he feels left out, so he leaves. Or in the third movie where he gets left out
and he leaves.
And ends up in
seeing
jail,
a pattern here.
Yeah.
No one likes to write for him because he's the asshole in a
telling
show.
You, they wrote the theme song. And from the theme song, that bred 10 years of cartoons, 3 movies, 2 more movies, and 2 more series.
And it is literally how little kids learn how to tell jokes, because it's literally wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah. And that's the joke. That's every joke. They're not funny. And there's a gap as though there's a laugh, like a laugh track. And nothing is ever funny. It's awful. It's brain numbing. At least with a little kid's show, there's a, like, supposed to be a moral, and at the end you're like, okay, fine, he shouldn't have been a jerk to that other turtle. That's not what this is.
They don't even do that.
No.
Okay, is it this Enter the Shredder episode? I think where Splinter starts hounding on Michelangelo for, like, for rushing too much or not being patient, and he's just kind of throwing himself around and stuff, and you think, oh, yeah, this is going to come up later in the big fight scene. Yeah. Michelangelo's going to have to learn patience and save the day, and everyone wins, and that never happens.
No, they just left that one on the cutting room
floor. Never comes back. Splinter gives no advice later. He's barely in. I know we did a random sampling. I'm sure he's all over this show. But he's not really in any of these. And neither is Raphael. But, like, yeah, no real moral here. Yeah. No, let's tie things up in a nice bow for next week. Nothing to take away. If you're a parent, like, you know, putting your kid in front of this show.
The only funny parts were the occasional very self-aware one-liners.
Yeah, the only funny things, they do little self-aware meta jokes for adults.
Yeah.
No, well, hey, Shredder, you're not getting away. This isn't the Shredder show.
Well, I mean, and let's be clear, this is literally the second episode, so it should all be setting up these characters.
Yeah.
And we do, like you alluded to, get the creation of Bebop and Rocksteady when they literally steal a rhino and a warthog and then pour goo on them.
Oh, yeah.
And which Shredder still has his mask underneath the hat suit, which I gotta laugh at, because that's literally the dumbest thing.
Shredder's a weird character.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything, right?
Yeah.
He just argues with Krang. Well, Krang, if you yell at me one more time, I oughta...
Shredder!
And then he just goes and does what Krang wants and doesn't ever fight anyone.
But they do set up that backstory of, like, Shredder and Splinter had, you know, had beef, and they were both great ninjas, and you don't see that
ever at all.
They
had real tasty Japanese beef.
These are, like, super racist voices, right? Because they're all white guys here.
Yeah, there's no Japanese voice actors on this show. I don't think
even Mr. Miyagi is not. Oh, turtles.
Yeah, well,
it's really down here. Yeah,
like it's really awful.
This isn't Breakfast at Tiffany's where they have never met a Japanese person and don't know what they sound like.
Oh, Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney. Thank you. I almost said Mickey Rourke. I'm like, that's a very different movie. Breakfast at Tiffany meets the wrestler.
Just La Mitz. I came here for a croissant.
Man, what happened to Mickey Rourke? Anyway, different show.
Cocaine happened to Mickey Rourke. Some cocaine floating around.
Plastic surgery.
So essentially, this episode is pretty cut and dry. They have the Technodrome. It's drilling through the Earth. April O'Neil is trying to follow the story. She's 10 steps behind the plot, like the chief of police in a slasher film. What ends up happening?
There's no police on the show, by the way.
There's no one in the city.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Turtles do emerge from the sewers, run around in traffic. Nothing happens.
Occasionally in whiteface.
That was weird. That's the second episode.
They did whiteface on a quest
for
cheese.
That was weird.
Let's just jump on because these are shows.
I think we can. My brain has merged all three episodes together. So
the second episode we did was from the third season. It's called The Fifth Turtle. And this they harass Donatello to go pick up some mozzarella. So him and Ralph go to the grocery store in like the most terrifying masks I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's
whiteface. It's mm-hmm. it's like the Joker mask makeup. Like it's really creepy.
It's scary.
They're all dressed like a flasher in Times Square too. If you don't know, like giant trench coats, fedoras. Fine. They're about to get mugged.
They're about to get mugged.
And then this little kid dressed up like a Ninja Turtle comes in on like a skateboard or something and tries to fight off the thugs, which throws off the timing of the turtles. But the bad guys run away and the kid essentially fanboys all over the turtles.
Yep. Yes.
Scene. This is an interesting idea of a little kid who wants to join superheroes. It's something that since Marvel movies have done, which we talked about in Amazing Spider-Man, I think there's
Iron Man 3, Dark Knight Returns, The Incredibles, the entire movie The Incredibles is based on this.
Well, and even in The Dark Knight, they have a gang of Batman that attack the bank robbers.
Yep.
It's a cool idea, and it's for a little kid show to talk about why it's okay to do things sometimes. Like, again, this is one of those
because every kid watching
is gonna have a message.
Yeah, exactly. Every kid watching this show dresses up as a Ninja Turtle, right? And they're like, oh man, if I lived in New York, not if the turtles were real, but if I lived in New York, I would go seek out the turtles.
Yeah.
Right now. And this episode is what would happen.
Yeah.
And I guess it does make it, makes it like okay for that to happen. You know, he gets ragged on by his brother and even the turtles at first, but no. And that's where Splinter comes in, right?
That's where Splinter comes in because he actually because the kid figures out how to track the turtles by putting paint in their van and then follows the paint. Mm. And then Shredder's like,
instead of just following them.
Yes.
When he had eyes on the whole time.
And then Splinter's like, you've shown that my turtles have gotten lazy, which I think is a matter. For. But I want to make it clear.
Sure, there's a point
in that episode. In 22 minutes, they can have two or three plots with a first act, second act, and third act, and they interweave and they collide at the end. That's very Simpson-y.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to the plot of the episode, which is that the planets have aligned so that crystals have more power.
Oh my God.
To power the Technodrome.
Right.
Because. Question mark.
Because yes. Krang, basically.
Yeah, because Krang.
Krang's got his body at this point.
Well, yeah, in the first episode, he said he was going to have his body, and once he got his body, he was going to bring over all the aliens to take over the Earth, but I'm guessing that didn't work out.
But then we jumped ahead to season three,
he's got a body and no brain alien. Yeah. Yeah.
So Krang wants to harness the power of things.
Things.
Right.
To do things so that things.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's basically the quote plot of this episode. Even though the plot's really fanboy. And
this was the one where they go into that lab to get the crystals, and the lab was somehow booby-trapped.
Tesla would love this place.
Oh my god, is it like a giant Foucault's pendulum for some reason?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like crawling around.
Oh yeah, he almost dies. Yeah,
I was like,
Shredder turns a thing
who
on
made
and it's just
this
like
laboratory?
A ball of electricity bigger than all of them here.
It was like a Galaxy Quest where they're all, yeah. It was exactly
well,
Galaxy Quest.
Well, I mean,
Quest.
That's what it is too. It's a generic laboratory too. There's just things in it. Like, because that's what it is. Like, you go to Emory University and they have just the generic lab where you can do science and things.
That's right.
Right.
But, here's the thing. That was supposed to be the planetarium, I think.
Yes.
Right.
Which matters. No, it does.
That was in the plot. Like, that was Krang's thing. Oh, we'll meet him at the planetarium. We'll do this there. And
so when Mercury's in retrograde, we can power charge the crystals. I mean, again, if there isn't a Coke party going on somewhere, it's a waste of 1989 or whatever
year
this
is. When they get there and it's like, the planetarium. There's nothing fun about this room for a Ninja Turtles fight. So let's just add some cool Tesla shit and weird experiments. And that makes sense. Sure, why not?
It's the next one. There's aliens in this world. I mean, and not just Krang.
There's aliens. There's tons of robots.
And
I mean,
no human beings. This is a world with like one child, his brother. Like, no wonder he goes out at night. Like, there are no parents. This
yeah, no parents, no schools.
No hope.
There's planetariums, but they're full of incredibly dangerous machines.
Yeah.
So you can't go there. It's a terrible, terrible place, and we need turtles to
mutant turtles, mutant ninja turtles
to rule it.
Dude, we're out of shredded mozzarella. Like this. Yeah.
That's how that episode starts. All of this happens because they needed shredded mozzarella.
There was something sinister at the Circle K. That's it.
Oh,
we got
man.
That.
Trouble's afoot.
Hey, there we go. That's a pun. It's a Foot Clan.
Oh, it's from the Tick.
Fuzzy bastard.
Don't give me credit. Not that smart. But you all got it. You all got it, listeners at home.
This is episode 2.
You can use
we'll
that.
Figure it out.
You can use that one. Feel free. Yeah, no moral at the end of that episode.
Nothing happens. I don't even remember how
they take the kid home, and the brother is all like, did you finish some turtles? And
the bully brother.
And he's like, as a matter of fact, I did. And they turn because a giant van full of mutant turtles is like 20 feet away. And they're like, thanks, bruh. And they drive off. And then the brother's like, man, I will never treat you poorly or make fun of you again. Well, except that doesn't happen. He just goes, oh. And then it's over.
Well, and
there's
again,
no moral, no, nothing.
What the line should have been is something like, hey, kid, you want to join us on our next mission? And he's like, no, thanks, guys. I should be a kid. You know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn a lesson.
First of all, we have that damn Phoenix Jones guy in like Portland who thinks he's a superhero. Like, you shouldn't encourage people to jump off of buildings and fight crime. Like, you just shouldn't.
So what was the appeal of this show then? Because this show was immensely popular. And again, so many spinoffs, so many movies, which I saw. Yeah. I went and saw the movies. Oh, yeah. I love them. And I can't, like, on rewatch, I can't really understand why this show caught on the way
that
it did.
Well, that's the thing with late 80s, you know, to mid 90s shows is that they're paced and drawn and kind of directed in such a way that doesn't resonate now. If you watch like anything, I mean that's what this show is all about, is if you watch anything from that era, the pacing is so slow and really off from what you kind of watch now. Not even now, just like, it's probably The Simpsons ruining it for everyone.
Yeah. Oh.
Is The Simpsons, like you were saying, can do a three-act structure in the first 4 minutes before it sets up what the episode's about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rapid fire. A lot happens. There's a lot of characters to juggle. And they do it all somehow. And they've been doing it since
and
2 years after this show came out, after Ninja Turtles came out. So by the time, like in season 3, when The Simpsons really started figuring it out, you know, it's only 1990. Meanwhile, the other shows have animation limitations. You know, they're used to certain pacing for jokes and stuff, like for kids. But The Simpsons aims at adults and not kids. And suddenly, you know, we watch a show like this, and we're like, why is this scene so long? Why is it taking so long for them to say anything? Why is there a big pause after a joke? Like, what is the deal? And this is not the only show or movie or animated movie like that we've watched that's like this. I mean, you watch like a Don Bluth movie, yeah, and they're still good. Like American Tail is still really good. Sacred and M still really good. But like, pay attention to the pacing of those movies.
Yeah.
And it's very noticeable. It's very noticeable how different it is. And I think it's because of the animation style.
Well, I mean, and let's be clear here. This is a show we remember, but it's a very cookie cutter show. Like we already talked about X-Files. It could be any show from the late 80s, effectively, because the pacing's the same, the animation's the same. And then, like you said, 1989, when the first season of The Simpsons animation's kind of crap too.
Yeah, it's a lot like
that. By the time we get to the early 90s, it's affecting everything, because Animaniacs is much quicker, and it's 92 by the third season of The Simpsons.
Yep.
This is crap, and I mean, I guess we can get a little bit to our teaser for next episode. I won't do the full one yet, but by the time we get to the third show, we're talking about Nicktoons, and the Nicktoons, which come out in the early 90s, are very influenced by, because all of them are very rapid fire. All of them are much better quality animation, and all of them have things like plots that interweave throughout. Even something like Rugrats, which has two little mini episodes within it, it's much more tightly packed. This feels like nothing is happening.
Feels like a slog.
Yeah, slog is the word I've been thinking of all day. Is because, I mean, we watched the first two episodes. They're 22, 24 minutes long, and you know, we're going to watch another one. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to slog through one more of these.
Yeah, I was bummed because with Animaniacs, I put like all three on and I watched them back to back to back.
I think we watched four more episodes of Animaniacs after the three we watched for the episode. Like, we were just like, oh, let's just keep watching them. Because, or what? Let's watch a Chicken Boo, or let's watch a Pinky and the Brain. Yeah. And of course, Animaniacs has segments, has skits for the most part. For the most part, they're broken up into three, four different episodes within each one, so they can go really fast. But I mean, really nothing goes faster than the Warner Brothers.
Well, and I mean, and just to plug into this moment, Rob Paulson is in both,
right?
And it just shows how much he's wasted in this, because here he's literally given nothing to do.
Yeah, he's given the worst character and nothing good to say,
and no direction, because he's just literally giving the same inflection for every line.
Oh yeah.
And by the time Animaniacs comes out, just a couple years later, he's literally, that joke, the whole show is based on sarcasm, which is really hard to do if you're not an actor, like on screen. He's sarcastic through a cartoon character.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Go look this show up on IMDb, and you'll, and just flipping through, you know, like the dad from Fresh Prince is Shredder.
Yes. Yes. I saw that.
Never would have placed that without looking it up.
No.
So there's people.
You just blew my mind right now.
You look through the cast and you're just thinking, I mean, okay, they got real people to do the voice work. They just didn't give them a whole lot.
I was probably watching a couple of different shows in the 80s than you guys were.
Sure.
For instance, like Jim and the Holograms, which I have watched some of as an adult.
Don't watch that movie that came out a couple of years ago.
No movie came
Sacrilege.
Out.
Sacrilege.
Didn't happen. We've all forgotten.
I even feel good like man. Those were a little bit better paced than Ninja Turtles. And again, with Jem, I think that there were usually two stories packed into the 20 minutes the 24 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least, I don't know, maybe they recognized that they didn't have enough meat to make one story go for a full 24 minutes. But
I mean, you can't even watch any show now, any half hour show, comedy or whatever, that has one storyline.
No.
For 30 minutes, for 20 minutes, whatever the show is. No show does that. They all juggle, because they all, you know, you have enough characters. Every show has enough characters where you can have two storylines, at least.
Well, and
or a running joke along with the story, like something to break it up so that there's like something serious maybe, but then there's, you know, some idiot in the background has, you know, I mean, every show does it.
And then even some of the other cartoons that came out during that time, like G.I. Joe was a big one for my brothers. And that always ended, at least it did have the moral. You know, you could walk away with, I don't know, whatever.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah. play nice with your neighbors, whatever it was. Yep. You know,
don't get into a land war with in Asia. Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a promise. If we do when we do G.I. Joe, we'll do the one where they go to. Or no, this is Transformers where they go to Carbamia. There's a Middle Eastern country called Carbamia. But I mean, I do remember that.
That's terrible. We're totally doing that. Just that episode. It's going to get a little one-off.
To your point, it was sometimes at the very end, or the Sonic the Hedgehog show where they had like Sonic Says or Knowledge is Power, like the end where there was like the moral at the end and it was very on the nose.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't leave the burners on the stove or your house will burn out. It might not have nothing to do with the episode.
Yes.
Yeah. But there was something. Here it's just kind of like, let's pad, guys. Pad it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, those scenes with Krang. I mean, there's always in the episodes we saw. Okay, we haven't even talked about the third one. Third one is like RoboCop and like
Giuliani
and a commentary on Giuliani's like, I'm going to arrest everybody. And it's Leonardo's on his own with April and a robot. That's about it. Anyway,
oh, man. Nope, lost my train of thought.
Okay, so yeah, the third episode is called Leonardo Renaissance Turtle. It's from the last season, the fifth season. And it's this weird. There's a new robot called Lex One and created by a German scientist.
Yeah, German.
Mindbender.
Thank you. Who, because he's a fascist and wants to be super militant, he's a German. And the idea is that this guy will eliminate crime by arresting everyone for everything.
Yep. Yeah.
So the other turtles go on vacation because, like, they're going to stop a bank robbery and it's literally stopped before they get there by Lex. So they all go away except for Leonardo, who doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
And we realize that Leonardo is the most boring character in the show.
Yeah.
Everyone knows he's the most boring character.
Which I did actually recognize when I was a kid.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like,
just like Cyclops and X-Men, the leader character is the least interesting.
The leader's always the least interesting. Yeah.
As the host of a podcast, I get this. I am the least interesting.
Absolutely. Without fail, always the least interesting.
And so him and April are literally walking around when they're caught jaywalking and about to be thrown in jail. This is what made me think of Giuliani, because he was the one who cracked down on the jaywalkers. You know, the whole broken window mentality of law enforcement. You stop the people from breaking the windows, there's not going to be higher crimes. Whatever. It was the thing. The 90s was a weird time, kids. And this is social commentary from the Ninja Turtles. So there you go. They were putting breakfast cereal on pizza in one episode, weren't they?
They were.
Okay, moving on. so Lex goes crazy. He arrests the mayor for wearing mismatched socks.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Communist.
And that's it. Leonardo has to learn how to be like all the other turtles.
Yep. He has to learn how to ride a skateboard like Michelangelo.
Which he doesn't do.
How to fix some computers like Donatello.
Sort of. Doesn't he do that when he just like kicks it? He does.
Sort of.
And then he has to tell a joke at the very end to be like Raphael because they totally forgot what Raphael brings to the table.
And that's when the producers fired all the other voice actors and just had Leonardo for the last six episodes before the show was canceled. This was atrocious. I mean, and not unlike X-Men, you could tell.
What's
by
your
this
two one. Least favorite characters? It's April and Leonardo for 20
a
minutes.
Whole episode.
Yeah. That was a long 20 minutes.
I mean, think of this setup, like to just what we were just talking about splitting characters up, letting them have separate storylines to kind of make the time pass better. They let Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael go on vacation and never followed up with them. There's no storyline there. They come back at the end when they're like, oh, there's danger. We didn't realize it. But at no point is there 3 minutes with Donatello or 3 minutes here. It's still all Leonardo maybe calling them, and then you cut over to one of them being, you know, the communicator's
too busy to answer
off.
The phone.
Yeah, and then it cuts back. There's no. What do Michelangelo and Raphael do at a swamp for a week? I wonder. Well, but we don't know now.
And it's a closed door farce. He's like, whoops, I missed you. Stupid. But so when we did Animaniacs, I hadn't seen it in years. But I was like, oh yeah, the damn hippos are showing up. And it came back to me. When I saw those giant frogs that Roth and Michelangelo were hanging out with, did you guys remember who they were? But they were like just in the swamp with similarly sized frogs wearing shirts, like the Battletoads or something. And they were just like having a picnic lunch, apparently.
Were we supposed to know those characters? I've already forgotten that scene. I watched this like 3 hours ago, and I've already forgotten what you're talking
no
about.
Idea. No idea. They were definitely having fun with that, though. Somebody in the writer's room thought, well, what would they be doing out in the, you know, the Everglades or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, hanging out with other mutant reptiles.
What I would have loved to see, what, like, but there's so much you could have done with this. Like, if like midway through the episode, Shredder was in prison because of this damn robot, and he broke out all the other criminals, like, that would have been fun. That could have been something. But instead, like, Leonardo's having some sort of spirit quest, and it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
There's so many angles. There's so, there, you've got the other turtles or elsewhere.
This is a really good premise, actually.
Yeah.
It's a really good premise. You have mutant ninja turtles. Okay, so Mutant Ninja Turtles is a good premise, but it goes
It's unique, for sure.
Well, and what...
But yeah, they never use April. I mean, April is like a TV reporter, and they never use her as a storyline of...
Other than she has an asshole coworker who lets her off the air. I liked him.
Vincent,
who's just like, and April, the former anchor person, is in jail now. And he was like, oh, Vincent, and you're just like, whack. And he like...
That's pretty good, though. Running jokes?
Yeah, that was good.
That's pretty good. We didn't give it enough credit for having running jokes.
See, but what this should have been, since it's supposed to be kind of this kid version of like how weird comics are, which they still kind of get that, you should have been more like The Tick, where other hero like people show up. Like, that's why Casey Jones is a cool character, because he is actually just a vigilante with a hockey mask on hitting people with a hockey stick. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's not in this show so far. That's not in these episodes. There's no sense of fun other than the fact that they think they're making jokes and they're actually not making jokes. That's not what jokes are, guys. Not that I'm funny, but like, that's, but they're really just kind of setting up punchlines and hoping.
Yeah.
But the turtles don't laugh at each other. So you can, like, if you're a kid, you don't think anything's happening.
Oh, that's a really good point. You know, they all have little one-liners when they punch someone in the face or stab them with their weapons. But yeah, no one else goes, yeah, good one, Raph. Like, well, like, they're still like, damn, that was creative.
That's why Animaniacs works.
No one reacts. Yeah.
Well, but Animaniacs works because they'll do the wah, wah, like.
Yeah.
Or they'll do a rim shot, like, because they're aware of what they're doing. Here, they're just expecting someone to laugh.
But it does have, in these three random episodes we saw, we had two self-aware jokes about the show itself.
Yeah.
Like, staring at the camera, we know where this is a TV show that you're watching. So,
but they seem to have more awareness of the audience than they actually do of the other characters in the room. I think there's no true relationship there. I mean, they're brothers, quote unquote, but that's not anywhere in the writing, really, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There's
no writing that actually establishes relationships.
Other than that they kind of hate on each other like brothers do. They're like, you know, hey, time to wake up and have breakfast, but before breakfast, we have to practice, guys. It's just...
Yeah, okay, exactly. Fine. Nothing funny.
And then April just kind of being like, you guys, as the put-upon woman in the show. Like,
hey, guys. That's April's character. Hey, guys.
Where's my camera?
What's going on, guys? Where's the action?
And I don't remember local news in the 80s, but, like, there wasn't just a person with a camcorder and saying it's the news, right? Did I miss it? Yes, you missed it, April.
They
just
turned the camera back onto themselves. I'm April O'Neil reporting from... Hold on. Turn the camera around. There. That. I'm reporting from that.
Which...
No one else works at this station.
I haven't seen much of the new movies other than, like, the honest trailers and crap, because I can't be bothered. And the fact that they're talking about getting turned on by April, which is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But at least Will Arnett's in it. He apparently, if you just offer him a sandwich, he'll show up for your movie.
Ooh.
But he can be the comic relief.
Let's do it.
And so he's April's cameraman. So
when she says
something and it's not funny, he can be like, well, that sucked. That's what Will Arnett does.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
I feel like Casey Jones would probably bring some of that.
And that's what
if
Casey
we had
Jones
watched
did.
An episode with him in it.
I mean, that's what
being
he was in
another
the first
human
movie.
with some personality.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we're about at 35 minutes here. So I think this is our time to wrap it up. God, it's not even embarrassed. This was just disappointing.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. I mean, this is the whole point of myopia is to ruin your memories.
Yeah.
But other than the intro song, did you actually have any memories of this show?
No.
Because I don't think I did.
Not at all.
I remembered more from the video game than this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The video game's very good. I remembered more of the, you know, the movies that we talked about. But yeah, besides the theme song, not a whole lot of it was in my head going, you know, there wasn't an episode where I thought, oh, we should watch that episode. I just wanted to pick the earliest one we could find, basically.
No.
Just to get a spread over the series.
It was just a really failed show. Like, I know I already brought up Jim and the Holograms, but I do remember specific episodes of that show from my childhood. I remember specific songs they sang because Jim and the Holograms were a music group. Yeah. There was one episode that was all about a little orphan girl finding her father who she thought had been killed in Vietnam. Like, legit, I haven't seen that episode of that show in 20-something years, and I remember that.
But Ninja Turtles had an episode about getting shredded mozzarella.
Oh, my God. But,
yeah,
I remember the jaywalking scene. I didn't even remember what happened or why they were arrested for jaywalking. I just remember that it happened. Like, this is a completely forgettable show. It's comically bad.
This is absolutely the definition of just being the right show at the right period of time for the right age group. It does not work at all. Now you can sit a 6-year-old or 10-year-old in front of this and have them enjoy it.
Yeah.
Today, no, not at all. And neither can we. And we grew up on it. So
the best part is the theme song. Watch the intro. There's a long form that, like, I think was in the pilot. It's like a minute and a half long. It's great.
Ooh. Yep.
But that's the end of Saturday morning cartoons, kids. So tune in. Okay. So before I give the hint for the next episode, next month is going to be a little bit weird because we are doing a movie in honor of a release. So the first week of October, which would usually be a horror movie, because October, we're going to do horror movies all of October, is a switch 'em up where we're going to do, we're going to do a movie in honor of a release that's coming out the first week of October. So I'll do a hint when we get there. But that means...
I'm intrigued.
I know. Which means our next animated movie, or our next animated show, our next Myopia Mornings, instead of being the last week of September, is going to be moved up a week. So we can still do 4 horror movies for the month of October. The hint for that, other than that it's a Nicktoon, is it's the only Nicktoon whose creator was kicked off by the end of the first season. So tune in next week and every future week when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Bye, guys.
Myopia Mornings is hosted by Nick Hoffman, Scott Miller, and Aaron Greer. It is edited by Aaron Greer and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting and Myopia Defender Childhood. The theme song is Buddy from bensounds.com. We are part of the ESO network. Follow us on Facebook at Myopia Defender Childhood. Rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back next month with another bowl of cereal and Myopia more. Thanks.